Hello, everyone, and welcome to the next episode of the Trucknology Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Berlin, and we're here with Mark Shevchuk from Amos, the CEO of Amos Corporation, the TMS that we use for our logistics company. And so I want to welcome you to our first interview ever on the Trucknology Podcast, Mark. So if you wouldn't mind, tell us a little bit about yourself and your company.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you so much, Jeff, for having me on the Trucknology Podcast. It's exciting being the first guest on the show. So we'll see how this goes, right? It's new for the both of us. So that's exciting. But yeah, you know, like you said, we've been working with your company for about, I would say, what, 4 to 5 years at this
At
point?
least, yeah, 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, no, so it's awesome. You know, we're really happy with doing business with you guys and helping you guys, you know, run your logistics departments internally with the different companies. But yeah, let's talk a little bit about Amos TMS, how we started. Really, you know, who wakes up and says, I'm going to build a TMS, right?
Probably nobody.
And I wouldn't recommend it to anybody. It's very, very
if
stressful.
If only you knew then what you know now, right, Mark?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, when I was young and stupid, right?
Yeah.
No, but I mean, for me, it was, you know, my parents are from the Ukraine, right? So they immigrated to the United States around 1989. And I was born here and raised in the Chicagoland area in the suburbs. And I grew up in basically trucking, right? Because when people come in from Eastern Europe specifically, as you know, they have a few options, right? Construction, trucking, or cleaning, right? So a lot of them went into trucking, and I worked with or kind of grew up in that sphere of learning, you know, what is a truck, what is a trailer, what is a BOL, right? Things like that. I remember being like 6 years old, sitting in my first semi truck, and it was awesome. So always had like this love for transportation. Eventually spilled into, you know, airliners, because one of my cousins works at Boeing as an engineer. So visited that site. So just overall transportation, the movement, whether it's people or goods, fascinated me. And I always wanted to also get into entrepreneurship or start some sort of business because that's what my dad did, honestly. That's what I grew up in. He went into that construction route. So he, you know, has a lot of buildings in Chicago that he maintains, you know, a lot of development projects. So really like that idea of, you know, you build something yourself. So, you know, I was in college studying, you know, kind of building the career path because that's really kind of what I got pushed into. But the opportunity came around. It's kind of like when the stars aligned that there was a few people who have been in the industry for a long time, have built other TMSs as well, said, hey, let's all come together and start Amos TMS. And I was like, yeah, absolutely. This is exactly what I was looking for. So we came together in 2017 and 2018 and started Amos International Inc. with our first product being Amos TMS. And it brought us to this point, 2025, that, you know, we're happy with the growth that we've seen, the different strides we've made, the different development, the different projects, people we've met, companies like yourself that we worked with. So it's been a hard journey, but it's been a very fulfilling one. And really, we're really excited with what we've provided into the market.
So you guys basically blank slated a transportation management system then, right? You guys didn't start from something and modify it. You actually started from base. I mean, what would it be if it was perfect? How could we start it, right? And that's what you did?
Exactly. It was a lot of different perspectives. Like I said, people have had experiences working in TMSs, GPS systems, tracking systems. So each one kind of, you know, individual that was part of the core team in the beginning knew what the negatives was of the, you know, products they worked with beforehand. And they're like, let's not make that mistake again. Let's, like you said, start a clean slate, build the system from the ground up and, you know, do the best of the best from each and every single category.
Yeah, that's cool. So I know you and I are both in the logistics space, and probably everybody that's going to watch this is going to be in the logistics space for the most part. But for those who aren't, or are, for those who are acronym shy, explain kind of what transportation management systems really do, if you would.
Yeah. Well, I would say in the past, especially like 5 to 10 years, the word TMS has really changed, right? As far as, you know, the perception of it, because logistics change a lot of people started pouring money and starting their own TMSs, so people call it more of like a platform. But at its core, transportation management system is saying, okay, I have something that needs to go from A to B. How do I, with technology and different integrations and utilizing and leveraging other systems, make sure that whatever the mode of transportation is, whoever is transporting it from point A to point B, do we manage it, you know, inside of a system? So communication, bringing in the load, sending that load to a carrier or a driver, tracking that information, then doing the invoicing, the payroll. Eventually it spilled into how do I do maintenance on my trucks, right? How do I get the mobile apps going? Then people want to have, you know, different accounting systems inside of it. So at its core, transportation management system is saying, okay, with the technology, how do I manage everything? But again, in the last decade, it has gone beyond a TMS because expectations are so high. So making sure that you understand how the, you know, company really works that you're trying to sell to and how to apply that technology is extremely important, which has been a challenge, absolutely. But, you know, that's the best way that I would, you know, describe a TMS.
That's good. Yeah. So I know we had a transportation management system previously for our trucking fleet a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And I know one of the biggest things that changed is when they went from paper logs to the ELD system. It was kind of an overwhelming change for us because we had guys that have been driving for 40, 50, 60 years. And you try to say, hey, we're not going to have you do a logbook anymore. You're not going to do it on a computer or in your truck. And so in the last 10 years, some or 15 years really, the technology has changed so much as it relates to transportation. What kind of big changes are you really seeing that are impacting how you guys code and how you guys set up your systems and requests you're getting? What are some of the biggest technology drivers that are pushing you guys to do different things with your TMS?
Right. So I'm actually going to start with analytics because AI, obviously, that's going to be a talking point that a lot of people are pushing towards. But analytics has been a big one, especially good analytics, right?
Yeah.
So remember when I mentioned on the last topic, we talked about what is a TMS. Companies, regardless if it's a trucking company, brokers, they're trying to push as much data into a TMS as possible, right? So not only how did I transport it and what I got paid and what I paid out, operation costs, right? Fuel costs, day-to-day, you know, overheads, things like that. And having the correct kind of architecture to be able to store that data and be able to say, okay, I need to pull this data from this point and this point, bring it together, combine it this way. And at the end of the day, spit it out for the client and say, this is how your truck is doing at the end of the month, for instance. That has been a big push. And the reason there is a big push for that is, as we saw post-COVID, you know, it's been a horrible market. People are, you know, pinching every single penny that they can. And a lot of them don't know, is my truck profitable or not? Why is it doing, you know, so much maintenance? Why should I replace it? Should I, you know, go and do something with it? And they just don't have a clear picture for it. They have like 30, 40 different Excel sheets, and trying to pull all that together, it's just impossible. So yeah. For us, especially in the past couple of months, analytics has been an absolute beast that we've been going after. And it's not been easy, right? Because just saying that, hey, you know, your profits and losses is this. Well, what about everything else, right? You got to go very deep. So for us, you know, we're at over 180 integrations inside the system. So we're trying to connect to as many systems as possible and pull that data in to be able to show, hey, this is what's happening. And even with you guys, with Yale Hollingsworth, right? Specifically in Native American logistics, analytics is, you know, for what, the past year or so has been a big topic of discussion with you guys, right?
Yeah, for sure.
With the projects that we've done. So that's a really, really big push that I'm seeing.
Yeah, I know for when we had our trucking fleet even, you know, there's a lot of other things that go into deciding whether a truck's being profitable or not. Not just, you know, how much did it make when it was rolling, but how much did it not roll? How much did it roll empty? How much did it break down when it did roll? There's a lot of what ifs that you just can't get out of a standard Excel spreadsheet. And so you're right. Analytics is absolutely a big deal. I don't know how the data is almost meaningless without the analytics. And I think you're right. Analytics is becoming more and more powerful, but it really is the driver. So, you know, you started to say it, and I know I want to talk about it, and I'm sure you do too. The AI piece of this is really awesome. Becoming an absolute monster. And it's growing so fast. What is it? Moore's Law that says technology computing and, you know, exponentially increases every year. And I think we see that. I mean, even our government is pushing to, you know, push AI to the absolute nth, and they're doing things to generate more power to fuel these big data centers. So how are you taking some of what AI can do and kind of integrating it into the logistics part of your software, where do you think AI does the best help for your client?
Well, it really couples together with the whole analytics portion because everything we're trying to do is bring as much data as we can into the TMS so we can spit out that number at the end of the month, right? And sometimes we don't have an integration, let's say, to bring in data. So what we did on our end, specifically with AI, is find, very niche functions or processes that can be enhanced with AI, right? So the very first one, obvious is I receive a rate confirmation, I import it, AI reads it, fills everything in. And then we're just adding it throughout maintenance, driver mobile app, right? When on the brokerage, if a carrier uploads an invoice, it automatically reads it and, flashes up that there's a variance or, some sort of audit that you need to do on the invoice, right? So we're trying to find those last remaining manual processes that people have to do and automate it with AI. So it's not just, you throw AI into the TMS and, the TMS runs on AI. Whoever says that, I don't believe it, right? Because you have to find specific things where you need to apply the AI to. But after that, you can leverage AI to say, okay, I have these two separate processes where I applied you. What else can you do with it, right? What else can we prompt you or teach you to do to take those two data points, bring them together to provide value to the client to say, okay, this is where my big problematic areas are. So it's a process that we're trying to fix, but also a analytics portion that couples together with AI. So that's the first step that we did. There's other applications as well. Something that we're working on that I haven't told you about yet, but might as well bring it up is AI calling, right? Using internal resources to do it, but also integrating with other AI providers that, for instance, let's say on the brokerage, a driver drives up into a facility and there's rules to go into that facility. You need a hard hat, you need a green vest, you need this and that. It'll hit a specific geofence. A call goes out and says, hey, driver, you need to do X, Y, and Z to enter this facility. To confirm, say your name, and then they'll send back into the system. So not only are you reminding the driver, but legally, right, as a company, you'll be able to say, okay, the driver did this or the driver didn't do this, right? So we're finding little things like that to really apply that AI into.
Well, that's really cool because we're kind of working on this AI idea in a way that kind of brings all of our data from not only our transportation operations systems, but our finance back office, our operational manuals, our policies and procedures. And I understand there's ways to put those into databases and let the AI use your own data to teach itself to get better and better and better and faster and faster and that kind of thing. So I mean, are you seeing that most of your clients are asking you for AI, or are you guys just seeing it on the horizon and recognizing that it can probably replace a lot of the Power BI tools that are out there, a lot of the analytics that are out there, a lot of the chatbot type stuff? Are you guys seeing it as kind of something that's coming, or do you feel being pulled into it right now by your client?
There's two sides to that story. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't really understand what AI is, right? It's not just this magic pill that you put into a company and it solves your problems, right? Just like any other system, you need to tell it what to do. And, I'll say the one problem, or not really a problem, but just like a hurdle that we have to go through with AI is not a lot of companies work with AI in logistics, right? So if you take ChatGPT when it comes to e-commerce or marketing, that AI engine is going to be a lot stronger because it understands that data because it's just so much more readily available, right? Something AI in logistics, everybody wants to keep that data very private. So it's kind of hard to teach it using other models, outside models, to really know what to do, right? So you're kind of relying on yourself to be able to do that. So in the beginning, yes, a lot of people came in with ideas and saying, hey, let's put AI into the system. But we kind of have to nudge them forward to say, okay, this is where we should think AI should be applied to, right? This is how we think we should teach the AI to do X, Y, and Z. And then after that, be able to kind of fine-tune it and say, all right, it's successful here. Let's go to the next step, and then bring it all together. So
Got it.
it's kind of two sides to it, right? Everybody's saying, pull in AI. What do you guys want, right? And we're open to it, right? We're happily working with different AI engines, and so far it's been successful and we love it.
Got it. Yeah, I got to imagine it's like any other technology that comes out. I mean, I remember pagers, and you guys all probably remember you know, when other stuff like that, that, you know, the first cell phone brick came out, and then we had Nextel, and then we had flip phones, and we had the BlackBerry and all that. The technology obviously keeps going. And honestly, I think at the pace we're going, AI is going to develop probably 10 times faster because so many people are working on it than even cell technology. So yeah, I agree with you. We're at the very beginning of this thing. And it's unbelievable what this stuff can do so far. And of course, where it's going is just going to be mind blowing, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I even see the videos, you know, compared to, I think it was 3 years ago. I don't know if you remember, there was like a Will Smith video of him eating spaghetti and how awful it was. And now there's full interviews in AI and it can fool someone, right? So imagine the next 3 years, what's going to happen? And that's exactly what we're going to see in logistics, right? Everything from, you know, even container management, right? I know that's a big one in intermodal where nobody knows where the container is. You can't get integrations. So, you know, plug in AI somehow to be able to pull that info. So it's exciting, right?
Yeah, it is. It's really exciting. And being able to provide a better service to the clients than what they're able to do for themselves. And I'm thinking about my clients now. And of course, using the TMS that you guys created to do that. And obviously, the better that is, the better I look to the clients and the more service I can provide to them, and the better their supply chain can run, and the better that happens, the more likely I am to get called for more business. So it's a great opportunity if you got the right tools. And I think anybody that's embracing AI this early is probably going to be out front. Anybody else that, you know, if you wait just another year, you're going to be playing catch up because it's going to go very quick.
Yeah. And that's, you know, you brought up a good point, right? For you, for your own clients, it's also important, you know, not just for you guys, but any other logistics company is really listen to your clients' needs, right? Yep. Kind of read between the lines of what they're saying, because they might say a few words and it'll click something. And you're like, all right, I can apply this technology, this AI, this integration, whatever else. Yep. And nobody would hear them, you know, nobody else would hear that issue they have, and you'll come in with the solution, and that just makes you so much better at that day.
Yeah, I think so too. And you know, and I don't know, AI has the ability to probably replace, you know, certain jobs and just certain job functions, but I think what it does is actually create other jobs at the same time, because everything that I've seen about AI so far, and granted, it may change in the years to come, but right now it still needs a little bit of a manual intervention because the models don't know everything. I was talking to a guy even just this morning, I think, that said really only 5% of all the knowledge that is available on the internet. The other 95% is in company servers, company data warehouses, company offline stuff that people can't get to. So if you think about it, even with the internet today, and you've only got 5% of a peak, what happens when more and more and more become available and available and available? I think that learning model gets much bigger and advanced very quickly. And absolutely, I think people will start pushing that data once they start seeing the returns from that. So it's kind of a cool sign. It's kind of like, you know, being the first one to see the light bulb. Where's it going to go? Right. I mean, it's just kind of a cool technology, I think.
No, it is. It's really, I'll be honest, I was skeptical about it, right, in the beginning. But when we first initiated, I was like, no way it can do this, right? And it's actually successful. Where else can we put it? So it's exciting. I for us, you know, this is kind of like when the first iPhone came out, or when Facebook came out, you know ChatGPT, everything else. This is revolution, but this is much, much bigger impact in the world. And like you said, I don't foresee it just completely eliminating complete, you know, whole workforces, because at the end of the day, you still need that human factor.
That's
you
right.
Need that human communication. You just need someone to monitor it and guide that AI to make your job easier, right? So when people really complain or they're scared about it, I would say, don't be scared about it. Just learn how to work with it, right? Kind of like when Google first came out, the people who learned how to search on Google and find the information were valuable assets, right, in the company. The same with AI.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I go way back to even when I was in high school. I remember taking my first computer class. It was on an Apple. I think I had a VIC-20 at home, if anybody remembers that. But I remember my the teacher saying, listen, computers don't do everything for you. They're really good at doing the things that are routine, repetitive, and mundane to a human. And all that's really done is just expanded over the time. And AI has now amped that up, because now there's voice recognition, there's character recognition, there's a lot of you can even dissect video and pull pieces out of video. And that kind of stuff obviously didn't exist a long time ago, but AI is just getting so much better. It's just, it's really quite mind blowing. If you can get past seeing all the Terminator movies and seeing how it could end badly, I guess. But
I was thinking more like Tony Stark and
well, Iron Man. There you go.
Iron Man. Yeah, he was telling what's the assistant name, the computer.
I can't remember. Starts. Yeah, she
Yeah,
sounds nice though.
exactly. Yeah, you would tell her like do this and that. I mean, that's gonna be pretty much it, right? Because right
Yeah.
now I watch a bunch of Elon Musk interviews. What are we limited by is getting the information of what we want from our brain out to the machine to be able to do it. Like the fastest thing we have is typing, or typing on the on the phone. But if I'm able to communicate and it can understand my thought patterns, and it's creepy, but
At the
it
speed of
will, right?
light. It's
The
at the
speed of
speed
light,
of light.
be
Yes.
able to get what you need faster, right?
Yeah.
Which is a good thing, I think.
Quite amazing. Yeah. We could probably sit and talk about AI all day, but maybe tell me a little bit more about where you see Amis over the next couple of years. I'm a little curious. I mean, I know you guys started out really small, and we engage you guys to help develop for us because, we think that we recognize that you started out as kind of a starting platform, and there's a lot of bolt-on opportunities, and we're recognizing that we need some more of that stuff, and we like you guys as a partner for doing that for us. So where do you see this kind of morphing over the next couple of years with everything that we're talking about, the development that you're working on, slathering a little AI on there? What do you see?
Well, here's what we did in the beginning, right? And what we did differently versus other TMSs is, other companies would go out, they would get 15, 20 million in funding, and then they would say, what do we do with this, right? They try to build a product and then they take it to the market, and then, you need to make adjustments, things like that. So what we did is we were self-funded in the beginning with angel investors. And we took all that knowledge that I talked about and built a very, very strong base architecture, right? That can really become whatever it wants. And this is exactly what we saw with your company, right? That you guys came in and you had a really tough issue, couple of months, couple of weeks, depending on how bad it was. We were able to develop something, right? So in our mind, the beginning was to say, hey, let's build a platform that can be multimodal. It can be online, and it could also be an enterprise system that can really become whatever you want it to, right? By leveraging microservices, AWS, things like that. And then we went out to the market and said, let's find the most variety of clients, right? Broker LTL, carrier LTL, reefer LTL, truckloads, this guy, and try to create a universal product that can apply to any type of company. And as we were doing that, we realized a lot of our strengths were particularly in the what we call the mid-market. Now, what is the mid-market? And this is really going into what's going to be the future as far as what we go after, and what we're going to do. So, usually companies that are mid-market, they have two options. You have a legacy TMS that's going to cost an arm and a leg to not only implement but support and do anything else, and they have old technology, so good luck getting anything done right at the end of the day. And then you have the out-of-box solutions, right? A lot of these newer TMSs that came out are around the time we did, but they're more, cookie cutter, if you will, meaning that once you buy it, you can kind of start it, and within a week or two, you're up and running, right? Not a lot of customization. So what we wanted to do is say, okay, let's take that feeling of being able to have a great, easy to use system with a modern UI, but also couple it with what legacy TMSs did with having very heavy functionalities, right? And kind of create this mid-market solution that we really haven't seen. There's a few competitors that kind of bleed into it, but really what we do is completely unique. So we did that. We proved that model. We showed that it does work inside the system. We built all the really strong foundations. And now we're going into the future of focusing on specific markets, right? The Midwest, Laredo, Texas, because we can do multimodal movements, cross-border, things like that. And at the same time, we're looking at more micro functionalities. And what I mean by that is, instead of just focusing on the whole TMS as itself, it's really finding very niche problems that we can solve with a micro app that can be plugged in or within the TMS itself, but at the same time coupled with AI, right? So an idea, for instance, that we had is what's called Dispatch Delta. If you're a dispatcher, you're constantly having like three screens. You have that open up on one, Google Maps on another, and something else on the other screen, right? Why don't you create just like a little plugin that you could also connect to Google Chrome to say, hey, I'm going from here to here. This is the pay rate for the driver. Is this a good load, right? And plus analyzing with other other tools and other integrations. So that's really what the focus in the future is going to be with Amos. We're still doing lots of development. We like that kind of boutique approach that we do with our clients. So what that means is we're not focusing to be a small company. We're focusing to be a very hands-on company with a lot of good customer relationship and, kind of getting close with them, because we really want to, be that middle market where you can say, all right, I have the system and now I can compete with those very large companies because of the technology, right? People are your customers, instead of saying, hey, I have this portal with this TMS that I use, but I can't do anything with it. I can't change it. With us, you can, right? So that gives you that competitive edge. So I know that was a long-winded answer, but
No, that's a good answer. And I'm going to actually dovetail on that a little bit, because I can tell you we didn't start out with Amos as a system. We actually, this is our third system. The first one was an absolute disaster. We didn't pick it at all. So I'm not even going to talk about who it is. The second one, we did pick, but that company kind of morphed from customer focus, development systems, and making it better to turning into a sales organization, meaning they would always go out and try to find new clients. But if you were already a client, you got very little love. And if you wanted to add things or improve things or make little tweaks to it, it was very difficult. So the development was very hard. So what I'll say what I like most about Amos today is not only is it a very, very good TMS and it manages a ton of freight for us, but the fact that you guys are reasonable in the development of it and it doesn't cost an arm and a leg to get tweaks that I hope will actually improve the system over time. And so, to be honest with you, from my perspective, I don't see the push for marketing. I see a push for development, which is great for me. I know you guys are doing marketing and you're trying to expand it, and that's all good. I don't see it, but I still see a desire to continue to make the product better. And that's really why I like you guys so much, frankly, because you seem to be very focused on making it the best TMS it can possibly be. And to me, that's more important than you guys becoming huge. And maybe not to you, but to me it is. And if I can help you become huge and you keep that same guerrilla tactics feeling out, then you and I will be friends for a long time. So
Absolutely.
it's really
Oh,
cool.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, like you said, we're a very product-focused company and a very customer-focused product company.
At the end of the day, that's kind of where it comes down to it, right? I mean, if we can't do our job, and if our and it doesn't make our job any easier and make us better for our clients, then the TMS is worthless, for lack of a better term. And the fact that you guys do a great job and recognize when there's opportunities and help us make them better, that it makes you a valuable partner for us. So we do appreciate that. And so it's good. I mean, that's
Absolutely.
a bigger recommendation as I could give anybody for your TMS for sure.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So let's see, what else did we want to talk about today? So hey, let's take a quick second and maybe add on the AI piece, and let me get your thoughts on optimization. So we've had some conversations in the past about it, and I know we used to have a TMS that had kind of an optimization engine on it, but it was very complex. It basically required an engineer to run the thing because it was so complicated. And this is going back maybe 9 years, 10 years perhaps. So I know we're far, far away from that technologically speaking, but I've not really seen any good optimization things out there in the market that take what we're doing, analyze our entire network, and look for opportunities to reduce cost, right? So like ride-along freight, or do you have two one-way trucks passing each other in the night that you could combine into a round trip? You know, do you have some LTLs that you could say, hey, let's pull these up on a Friday instead of picking up Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Let's pick them all up on Friday and line haul. Are there things like that that you guys are working on by chance?
So here's what I would say about optimization in particular. That's a very, very heavy engine,
It
right?
is, yeah.
It's not something easy. And the data that it's going to give you is going to be the same as the data that you give to it, right? Garbage in, garbage out, right?
Absolutely.
That's that, and it's a dangerous one because that can cost you a lot of money if you start routing the trucks incorrectly. This is kind of like the classical approach that we took, let's say, with accounting systems, where I'm not going to compete with QuickBooks. Never going to happen, right? With Business Central, what I'm going to do is I'm going to make sure that my data in the TMS and how the data is handled is the best it can be, and that the integration is going to be the best that it can be, right? And at the end of the day, it's going to cost our clients a lot less because they're not paying exorbitant amount of fees for us to even build an optimizer or even start thinking about it. So what we have done is we've gone out and looked at different partners to be able to integrate. Take that data that we know has been structured very well, right? So that it's not garbage in, send it to them, and then bring it back into the TMS, right? That's really what we did with the optimization because, again, absolutely we can go out and build it, but at the end of the day, our focus is really on the TMS side. If we see a partner or other providers that are doing something better, or it would take us 9, 10 years to even, get to that level. Instead of competing with them, let's partner together, right? Because of course they'll make adjustments on their side to be able to work with us. We'll make adjustments on our side to work with them. And at the end of the day, it's all about the client, and that's just going to give the absolute best experience for them.
Well, I honestly think that's a great approach. They've already invented the wheel. There's no reason for you guys to do it too, especially if they'll partner with you. And if they're not a TMS and just an optimizer, then that's like, it sounds like a match made in heaven, to be honest with you. It helps them both out. So good. I'm glad to hear you say that because I keep thinking about all the things that AI can do and where it might go. And to me, that seems like the holy grail of 3PLs, right? If you've got a way that you can on the fly analyze your data in a large scope. I mean, listen, if you're moving 150, 250, $350 million a year worth of freight, guess what? The bigger and bigger you get, the harder and harder it is to analyze just this literally terabytes of data. And so having an AI engine that can kind of run in the background and do all this stuff while you're doing your normal job is exactly what computers should be created for. So I'm glad to hear you say that, and I'm looking forward to seeing how that moves forward. I think that's a good opportunity.
Oh, that's going to be a big one, and especially, the world that you live in, LTL, 3PL, not the easiest, I would say, especially from a systematic approach. It's very important, right? To be able to manage that. And absolutely, that's another application of AI analytics, right? Specifically with how did the AI do, or how did that optimizer do at the end of the day, right? Where did I lose? Where did I win? How can I make it even better? Picking different models, different arrangements of how it can be handled. And from our side, we're able to provide that clean data. We just we have partners to be able to bring that data in and do something with it. So
Yeah, good. All right. Hey, I want to switch gears on you one more time. We're all in the logistics space, and I'm certainly not making this about politics at all, but how do you see the economy over the next, call it 12 to 24 months as it relates to, the tariff deals that are happening, the push to onshore? We're trying to bring manufacturing back to the US. I've done a couple of blog, several blog articles about it, and a couple of even podcasts about it, because I really feel that we're by bringing things back domestically, that's going to certainly make more business for 3PLs. And if there's more business for 3PLs, there's more business for TMSs, right? All that stuff kind of is self-fulfilling. But I think we're kind of going through a small little dip as they get everything figured out, and then it'll start to go back up. But what's your opinion? What do you see happening with the logistics space in the United States over the next 24 months?
yeah, I mean, up until this point, we've been experiencing what I think is just a reset of what happened during COVID, right? That huge increase in rates, everything that was happening, so many trucking companies opening up, brokerages, it's unsustainable. I compare it to the housing market, crisis in 2008. So right now, I think we're pretty much at the tail end of that reset. I would say for another about 6 to 12 months, we're going to still see kind of like this little up and down, dips between different markets. Like for instance, right now, if you look at flatbed versus dry van is absolutely suffering, but flatbeds are doing, pretty okay, right? Based on seasons and things like that. So I think just every market is starting to get its reset. And then, yeah, especially with what's going on with all of the tariffs, from a couple of our clients, we heard that they struggled a little bit in the beginning when that whole thing started, but at this point, they seem pretty comfortable. There's always ways to kind of figure out what's going to happen, how to get those goods over the border, right? People are creative. Something's going to happen. But if we do see the effects in the next 12 to 40, 24 months, where more manufacturing is moved into the United States, more goods are going to be shuffled around, raw material, whatever else, I see a potential for it. At this point, everything's so unpredictable. I'm not for sure if that's going to happen. I really hope it does because, it's good for America, but also it's going to be good for all the logistics companies, including yourself and myself as a TMS provider. So, to be on the safe side, I would say in the 6 to 12 months, I see a huge, end, I would say, to that reset that we've been seeing happening. And I'm really hoping that a lot of the manufacture does move back into the United States, and we see a boom in the logistics sphere, and obviously a good thing for all Americans that are involved.
Good. Yeah, I think it's nobody has a crystal ball for sure. All you can really do is go back to the times in the past where things have been, upset. Like I think about 2005, Hurricane Katrina was the first big disaster that happened to transportation when I got to this company. And we can look back at that and say, well, what happened when fuel went to $5.50 or $6 a gallon? What happened to the industry, right? And then the 2008, and then the GM shutdowns and strikes, we can kind of get a feel for what will happen. But this is probably the biggest global reset in the logistics that in my lifetime for sure. And maybe ever. We've never seen such a push for onshoring that I can remember. So I'm kind of anxious to see how this turns out. I really feel pretty optimistic about the logistics space overall. So
Yeah, absolutely.
good.
No, and I'll just speak from my perspective because TMS is turning more of a requirement to even be in the space, I would say. It's not like a luxury good as much, but between, let's say, 2022, 2023, sales were down for us, right? Because nobody wanted to buy it. They were still viewing TMS as a luxury space. But I'll say at this point, based on how the market is going, sales has been going up on our side. We're onboarding more and more clients, so that's definitely a good indicator as far as how the market is resetting. And then there's a lot better future coming around. So I'm definitely optimistic, right? Not only for ourselves, but for everybody else out there. So, I think good things are on the way.
All right. Well, that's good. I appreciate that feedback. Yeah, it sounds like we're kind of on the same page there. It's positive. Just keep our fingers crossed, right? That's how it can go.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, Mark, listen, thanks for the time today. It's been great talking to you. We've, obviously known each other for a little while, and I appreciate your insight. Again, I think what you're doing with your company is really good. It's the best TMS I've found so far, and I like that you guys are spending so much on development. I like that you're available. I can call you up and get some feedback directly. So that
Absolutely.
really is good for me too. So I like your accessibility, and I appreciate that. Listen, I'm gonna in the notes here for this podcast, I'm gonna put your email address and the link to your company website. And if anybody has any questions for Mark about TMSs or hey, how do I get Amos to come show me how to fix my company or whatever from a TMS standpoint, feel free to reach out to Mark. I highly recommend the whole company and of course Mark personally. So hopefully that'll help. And well, we'll see how that goes, right? Anything else you can think of, Mark, that you want people to know?
Yeah, I guess I'll do just a little plug about the company at the end, but not only do we provide TMS, but we do provide development services as well. So if you're a logistics company that you need help with an integration engine or website or anything logistics oriented development, we're your partner. We'll help you guys out. We're actually working on a project to be help build a mini WMS for one of our clients that just opened up a warehouse. So it's not just TMS. We do it all, and we love it. And like Jeff said, coming up with new ideas, building new products is, at the end of the day, our passion. Not just looking at the overall growth of the company, which is important, but we really are genuinely passionate about building stuff. So, just like Jeff said, you'll see the contact information. Visit our website, take a look at what we've done, and hopefully we'll work with you all soon.
Well, that's awesome, Mark. Thanks again for your time, and we'll be talking. All right.
Thank
Thank
you so
you.
much. I appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye bye.